Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Billboard on Broadway podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca Milzoff, Deputy Features Editor at Billboard and Broadway expert here. If you're a regular listener to the podcast, you may have noticed I've been posting episodes a little less frequently recently. That will be picking up soon. Billboard actually just recently moved its offices, and I am now sitting not in the Billboard archive library of yore, but in a sort of fancier feeling podcast studio. So exciting times ahead, more episodes coming, and thank you for your patience as we've had a little bit of a transition recently. So on the podcast, I talk a lot about the overlap of musical theater and pop music, as you know, and that usually means composers who are very influenced by pop or are in fact from the pop world and are now coming to Broadway. But there's another huge way that this crossover is happening. Performers from the pop music world who, whether they're originating roles or stepping in partway through a show's run, are trying out acting and singing on Broadway. This has been going on for many years now, not exactly news, and plenty of performers who aren't known primarily for their theater talents have made very acclaimed appearances on Broadway. I'm thinking of everyone from Jennifer Hudson to Reba McEntire to Sting. Some shows like Chicago and Kinky Boots became known for seemingly every other week having a new pop or rock star step into a lead role. My guest today is about to do just that in Sarah Bareilles' beloved show Waitress. Joey McEntire, well, if you're an 80s kid like me, he really needs no introduction. You know him first and foremost from New Kids on the Block. But he has actually been a theater person for a very long time, decades, in fact, at this point. He's done musicals on screen, off Broadway, very far off Broadway, on Broadway. He has sung musical theater on a boat, if you're familiar with the New Kids on the Block cruise. In short, he is not just a famous guy who is dropping into a show for a few weeks because it's convenient. He has always seemed to me like a true theater person at heart, despite that whole other career he had being, you know, a heartthrob in a boy band. So I was excited to talk to him about joining Waitress, where he will be playing Dr. Pomatter, the main character Jenna's sort of unconventional love interest, and about the theater nerd I always had a sense was at the heart of Joey McEntire. So are you just kind of starting rehearsals now, or how are things going, sort of getting into character?
I'm in rehearsals. I started last week, and yeah, it's going really well as far as just, you know, they're taking good care of me, and I think what I think about first is just like, you know, the role of Jenna and how much she has to do and how much generally people on Broadway have to do and have to be ready to do. You know, it kind of puts it in perspective, you know, with the swings and the company and, you know, having to go, you know, any night with, you know, three different roles. So keeps it in perspective that, like, I have enough to do, but it's not too much. And Dr. Pomeroy, the role is really fun. I mean, I spent a lot of time thinking about, you know, who this guy is and how I can, you know, play him most authentically. And but for the most part, it's going really well.
And I mean, you've played a pretty diverse range of roles, but I feel like singing gynecologist is probably even standing out among them.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's the first. That's the first I've heard of that description. So thank you. I'm so happy to put that down on my resume now.
It's true.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's a lot of ways to look at it. One of them is that, you know, people, you know, come to the theater to be entertained, you know, and so there's that side of it. And it's like, how do you make this guy, you know, funny? But not crazy, you know, how can he push the envelope, but also still be trustworthy to, you know, deliver a child and be a trustworthy, you know, doctor. And then, you know, obviously the storyline between the two of them is pretty, controversial to say the least. You know, and then balancing it with just being grounded and 'cause people come to the theater to be touched and changed and, so it's that mix that I think, you know, as a performer and an actor, you just got to touch on everything and then hopefully, you know, do enough work on everything that you can just finally let it go and just pray to God and the gods of theater that, you know, let's just go out there and have fun and just let it go.
Well, it's become such a beloved show that I think that everybody mm-hmm. will be very happy to see you on stage. I mean, I know that musical theater has been a part of your life for a really long time, but I have to imagine that, I mean, you were starting a professional career at the time when a lot of kids are just starting to figure out what kind of music they like in the first place. So I was curious when your first exposure to musical theater happened and how did you kind of get into it and when?
Well, I grew up, the youngest of nine kids, and my mother, you know, sang and performed when she was growing up in different school plays and then, you know, in church. And, you know, then on my dad's side, I mean, growing up in Boston in politics and he was in the union and politics back then were very, I mean, as he would say, it's all showbiz, you know, mm-hmm. And obviously you don't have to, you know, look who's in the White House now to see the connection between showbiz and obviously, regardless of what you think of the current state, it's pretty wild, the connection, you mm-hmm. know, and that's just how it is. But, so I grew up around that kind of a vibe and we grew up four blocks away from the oldest community theater in America, actually. It's called the Footlight Club. And I didn't know how lucky we were. You know, it's a 250 seat theater, like beautiful. I mean, it's in great shape now because of the members and just the hard work. But, you know, when I grew up, the ceilings were, you know, it was like the theater was, you know, a lime green, like the ceilings were literally, you know, falling down, like they were peeling down. There's something, it was probably a hazard. You know what I mean? You just wouldn't be able to get away with that. But it was a wonderful place and, you know, just to, you know, have that gift of the theater and see the joy it gave my mother and my whole family, you know, and, you know, some of us were on the stage more than others, but it was just something that was very natural. And I kind of got it right away because it was just so much fun. It was the creating, it was the rehearsal, it was, you know, it was the backstage stuff that really kind of keeps you coming back. And then, you know, to be able to have a chance to light it up on stage and have some of those moments, it's really like a bang bang kind of a deal. And so it was very natural. Yeah, it was very natural to me. And, you know, and then, you know, New Kids came along at a very early age. And yeah, I just kind of, you know, rode that wave and it was what it was. And like everything in a, you know, metaphysical level, I mean, it's just the give and take, you know what I mean? The balance of life, and, you know, you go hard with something, you also have to decompress, you know? So the journey comes with its ups and downs, and, you know, the train kind of has to get off the tracks and figure out where it wants to go again. I kind of always, wondered if, you know, what I would have done otherwise. I probably would have continued doing theater, but maybe it had just stayed, you know, in a community level. And, you know, there's so many great, you know, actors and performers at a community level that just decide this is what I love to do, but, you know, I have to support my kids, or life happens, you know, and not everybody goes to Broadway. So, but here I am, you know, and I'm happy to get these opportunities and make the most of them.
Well, I was going to say that something that sort of impressed me about your theatrical career is that you it seems like you genuinely enjoy doing it wherever it is. I saw that you did cabaret in Alaska, which I like have to know about.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So, you know, I got, you know, the full story is that I get this email and it says offer. And, you know, I'm pleased with where I am in the offer land, you know, but, you know, I know, you know, I know how amazing I am, but not the whole world knows how amazing I am. So, I get this offer and I'm like, what's this offer going to be? You know, and I scroll down and I'm like, I'm trying to read through the lines and I'm like, oh, it's for cabaret. And, oh, that's cool. It's a great show. And then it's like Alaska. And I'm like, thank you. No. and not that I'm poo-pooing it. It's just I was just about to move to New York and it's in the spring and blah, blah, blah. And I'm laughing at it, really not condescending, because, again, the play's the thing in the process. And, you know, working on a show like that and with a legit production company. But anyways, then I was like, wait a minute, this thing rehearses in LA for 2 weeks and then I'm up in Alaska for 10 days and I get to play the MC in this iconic show. And sure enough, it was a wonderful experience, as it usually is. And Alaska was so cool, just a great vibe. The cast was phenomenal and just like a family, and we were all kind of just taking this cool trip up to Alaska. And again, you get to, you know, play this show that, you know, 50 years later is sadly all too relevant, you know what I mean, in the world of what's going on. And you know, and so I really grateful and cherish that performance for sure.
That's amazing. I mean, speaking of doing shows in unexpected locations, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about one of the first shows you did, Jonathan Larson's Tick, Tick, Boom, which I have to imagine that, you know, at the time that you did it, it wasn't so as common for someone from the pop or sort of better known celebrity world to come to theater, and certainly not to do an off-Broadway show in a tiny West Village theater. So I was curious, sort of, how did that come to you? And were there people telling you, like, Joe, don't do this, like, bad idea?
Not really. I mean, I didn't have a huge team back then. So, you know, again, they reached out to the right guy, in the sense that, like I said, you know, I grew up in theater, so it really didn't matter, you know, what the capacity was or what the paycheck was. I knew, you know, theater is a vocation first. You know, you have to want to do it. You have to love it. And there's plenty of people that don't do it for that reason, and it's fine. And it's usually is stunt casting, and, you know, you can have a conversation with them and, you know, within a minute where they're coming from, and that's fine, you know. But you have to get turned on by 8 shows a week. And so when they asked me, when they reached out about Tick, Tick, Boom, I mean, it was, you know, they didn't reach out to me because, you know, they thought I was, you know, the next Raul Esparza, you know, they had no idea, but, you know, I went and saw the show and I saw Raul and he was fantastic. And, you know, immediately I was like, okay, I can't do what he does, but I know I can bring something to this and kind of carry the torch. And, it was thrilling. I mean, I guess I was cool enough to know that doing a show in the West Village in New York City was pretty fucking cool, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was another thing I cherish when I'm riding my bike on the, you know, along the Hudson and I look up and I see, you know, just to describe those who don't know that theater, that's really not there anymore. I think it's kind of a fancy hotel now, but it's like this 5-story brick building. And they turned this like, it was more like a, I don't know, I think it was like the restaurant part into this theater. And our dressing room was all the way up on the 5th floor, but it was like this octagonal, round like room at the top of this building. And that was, you know, I say it's my first New York dressing room, you know, and, mm-hmm. and so those times are super special. And at the time it was like a halfway house. So
oh, wow.
you would walk down, you'd walk up to the 5th floor for the dressing room. And then you'd walk down through the hotel down like this really, you know, dark hallway with like, you know, missing light bulbs and like down this, you know, what looked like a fire escape, and then back in through the back, you know, backstage, which there was no backstage. It was really just, there was no backstage. And, but what a role. I mean, on stage for an hour and a half, no intermission, singing like 13 songs and just fucking going, you know, pedal to the metal in a Jonathan Larson show, which frankly I liked a lot more than Rent. Rent, I mean, I know it's sacrilegious to say, but that never spoke to me. I think Tick, Tick, Boom was before Rent, and
yeah,
it was much more traditional, you know what I mean? Much more inspired by Sondheim and that kind of a little bit more traditional, which just kind of, you know, fit me a little bit more.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, I mean, the songs seem, I mean, from what I've heard of you singing them, I mean, they seem really sort of well-tailored to your voice and like a very good fit.
Yeah. Where did I sing them? I want to... Where's the tape on that?
I don't know. They're all over.
Stuff or whatever.
They're all over YouTube. I feel like I discovered this like a Broadway show that you did on a New Kids on the Block cruise, perhaps. But Is that okay. A thing that happened?
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, people like the fact that you did Tick, Tick, Boom. I mean, you mentioned Raul, and I realized that I feel like you have a habit of stepping into roles directly after the originator and all of these gigantic people.
I had a streak there, yeah.
With him and Norbert.
After Norbert. Yeah. This guy... This time with Dr. Palmer, I'm you know, not so much, but you know, relatively close.
You're close to Gavin Creel, yeah.
Yes, exactly. That's a good guy to follow, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean...
Isn't Raul a Tony winner? He must have won
some point. Yeah. For a company, I think, yeah.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Okay, so now the new story is I only follow Tony winners. That's my rule now, my New York rule.
Yeah. It's part of your writer now.
Yeah.
But I mean, that has to be, I would imagine it's intimidating, but also it's a good learning experience. I mean, do you feel like you've learned certain things watching these guys, like before you go on?
It's, you know, maybe I was too naive and just knowing that I had to like jump in, doing Tick, Tick, Boom. I just instinctively knew the kind of performer Raul was, and he was a force of his own. But I knew what take I would do myself. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't that conflict. Same with Wicked. I mean, frankly, not to get controversial, but I mean, I don't think, Norbert, that wasn't the role of his lifetime. I think he was ready to go win a couple of Tonys, and he did after he left Wicked. You know what I mean? So I really felt like I could jump in and bring my own, you know, excitement to that role. So I wasn't, you know, it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to steal this, going to steal that. And then, you know, right now it's a process, you know, it's like the same with, I've seen three guys do Palminer, you know, I've seen Drew who originated, I've seen Eric, and I've seen Gavin Creel, and they're all lovely and really smart and funny and quick. And there are certainly moments where I go, oh, shit, you know what I mean? I'm just not, that's not what I do. And I'd like to do it. And okay, maybe I'll steal one or two things, but you know, I think there's a day, you know, like I gave myself a day of just like, oh shit, you know, like, you know, and cause it's just weird. You know what I mean? You have to watch them. But you don't really want to watch them, but you have to, that's just part of the process because you got to do what's right for the show. So if they're doing something that works, then you gotta be open to that. And, you know, again, it was really fun watching them, but, so that's part of the process and you know, just making sense of, you know, what to take and what to leave.
Had you and Sarah crossed paths before, or is this a first kind of meeting for you two?
This was the first, yeah. And I never met her before, and I met her the other night. I saw her Monday and perform, and she was – I met her before the show, and she was sweet as pie, no pun intended.
Our heart.
And, you know, just so welcoming. And then I saw her, and I was just freaking blown away. I mean, I get it. You know what I mean? She's a successful, you know, songwriter, a pop singer. She's got a great voice, but like just stunning. I mean, the performance and what she brings to it, regardless of whether she wrote it, but the fact that she wrote it is very, you know, that doesn't happen, you know. You know, it might be a different vibe, but, you know, it's like seeing Lin-Manuel do Hamilton. Mm-hmm. I mean, totally different shows, but that's the kind of thing it was. And she was just, her voice was just spot on. I mean, you know, it was just that, you know, you knew it was going to be good. I was just like, wow. And but you see why, you know, people are flocking to see her, you know, on a cold ass Monday in January, you know. So it's you know, you kind of want to go, no, the world, you need to know what's going on here, you know, that kind of thing. But the crowds are great. So I think the community knows, and it's just cool to be a part of.
I think right now it might still be a secret, but do you know who your Jenna is going to be?
I don't think it's a secret because we kind of announced I'm gonna do it with Stephanie Torn for at least three, maybe 5 weeks, or maybe the whole run. I'm not sure.
Okay.
So Stephanie has done it. Yeah, she's done it a bunch, and I'm so lucky to, you know, have a pro and just be able to lean on her and I felt like there's just great chemistry from day one. So really, really happy with that.
Awesome. Well, as I was kind of just saying, it's like it's a fun adventure to go on a YouTube spiral of Joey McIntyre musical theater performances. And mm-hmm. I've seen you singing The Soliloquy from Carousel. I know you recently.
It's all out there. Okay, that's good to know.
Yep. Yeah. Yes, everything is captured. And I know that you recently played Pseudolus, and a funny thing happened on the way to the Forum, too. So it seems to me like you're interested in a really wide variety of characters right now. I mean, are you wanting to do more musical theater now? And what are the kind of roles that you're interested in going forward?
Well, you know, as far as the variety, it was, yeah. I mean, I joke that, like, I played... You know, no one has ever played Pseudolus in the MC in the span of 6 months, like
probably
in professional theater. I challenge anybody that has done that. Pseudolus kind of came on Joe Boire, who has been on Broadway and Jersey Boys, is now the co-artistic director at the Gary Marshall Theater. And I was lucky enough to be friends with Gary and part of their family. And it's just a special place. So he calls me, he's like, our Pseudolus has to go on tour. And can you come in for Pseudolus? Now I would normally never get, you know, cast as Pseudolus. So that was so I was like, oh man, like that is, you know, but he said, you got 2 weeks to learn the show. And I knew of the show, but I didn't know the show. So talk about a challenge, like literally 2 weeks. And I just like jumped into it, and it was, you know, it's a classic, you know, musical theater. It's just, it's amazing. It's so much fun. And, you know, to do that was just a trip and a real, you know, I wouldn't even call it a labor of love. It was just like, just really special. And, super fun. So I did that. And then, you know, I guess, you know, doing Soliloquy, I did it. What was fun about that is my wife at the time was actually pregnant. And it was kind of cool to, like, you know, really be in that song singing about, you know, having a baby on the way. And, you know, that song is a tour de force. So I was like, hell, let me give it a shot. And it was fun to do. And I've said recently, if Carousel, you know, continued a little bit, maybe I could have gone on, you know, in there. But as far as, yeah, theater, you know, when I moved from L.A. recently, you know, I moved to New York for a lot of reasons. L.A. was great, but we were there for a long time and we just wanted to mix it up, and it was scary and crazy and exciting and all that. But at the top on my career list, I mean, the big reason was just I wanted to do more theater, and I wanted to do it while I was quote unquote young. And on my deathbed, I wasn't going to say, geez, I wish I held out for a few more pilot seasons in L.A., you know, but I would have. A regret would be that I didn't do enough theater. And so, you know, the power of intention is, it's funny how much we can do in with our lives. But when we really kind of focus and put our hearts out there, that the universe really kind of does its work. And I came into, you know, in, here in the summer, and then in the fall, I did a workshop for the Wanderer, which is the show about Dion DiMucci, Dion and the Belmonts. And that was, you know, it's a legit Broadway, workshop. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen with that. But there's a lot of people excited about that. And then I did a play reading called Radio Galaxy, which is just a great play. Really, I mean, a really layered role, like, and dangerous. I mean, the guy was basically, you know, this fearful father who, you know, said a lot of racist stuff because it just came from fear and anger. And he, you know, there was a journey for this actor, and it was just, it was great to be involved in that. And then, you know, to jump into Waitress is really cool. And, you know, to do it before, you know, I go on tour this spring with the band, it's really, it really kind of all clicked in. So, yeah, I mean, this is kind of what I want to do. I know it's, you know, there are moments where I go, yeah, you know, you talk about 8 shows. Well, you know, here it is, you know, and I've never done 8 shows a week with 3 kids. You know, last time I did it, I was single, and that was, you know, tough enough. They call them Broadway widows for a reason, you know, that, you know, you don't see your partners a lot. But, yeah, so that's kind of what's going on.
Well, I hope that there is a Billy Bigelow in your future. And
thank you.
And I'm excited that you're a New Yorker and a theater person now. Hooray.
Yeah, me too.
Cool. Well, thanks for chatting, and good luck with the show. I'm excited to see you in it.
Thank you very much. Me too. Somehow I've fallen under your spell.
Joey McIntyre will be in Waitress on Broadway from February 4th through April 7th. If you're a fan of the Billboard on Broadway podcast, please subscribe and give us lots of nice reviews and stars on iTunes. We're also on many other platforms, including Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can always find me on Twitter at Rebecca Milzoff, on Instagram at YaDownWithRMM. You can use hashtag Billboard on Broadway if you ever want to talk about how much you love the podcast on social media. And please come back soon for a new episode.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.